James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Thanksgiving is right around the corner.
The pilgrims gave thanks, both in the good time and the bad.
As we prepare for Thanksgiving, do you know that giving thanks is essential to the soul of America?
There's a lot of concerning aspects about the 1619 Project, but specifically coming from my angle of concern for the rise of socialism and Marxism and that divide in our country, it's pretty much cultural Marxism.
Who could have imagined to see Thanksgiving at the center of the battle for our culture? Find out why this is so on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. This month, we celebrate Thanksgiving, and celebrate is the appropriate word, because for all its shortcomings, America has been an incredible blessing to the world, because it is a nation founded on God's truth. But giving thanks for America is now considered to be passé or even offensive by the commissars of political correctness. In recent months, we've witnessed an unprecedented war on American history, and we've seen historical statues and monuments yanked down by mobs or desecrated, while at the same time, deceitful academics try to rewrite our true history to cast America as the world's bad guy. What is this war on American history all about? And how is the New York Times helping to lead the charge? Let's take a closer look.
It's incredibly problematic when there are efforts presented to completely revise history.
Whoever records or puts pen to paper to write about history, their ideological framework or worldview shapes what they write. And I think there will be many attempts of people who question the veracity of the Christian origins of America who want to rewrite history in such a way.
There's a massive effort by those on the radical left to completely rewrite the history of America. What's behind this revisionist history, and what are they seeking to accomplish?
I think what this country has represented is a lot of good things. We're not a perfect country, as human beings are certainly not perfect. But this country has done a lot of great things. I think American history has a lot to be proud of, and I think Americans should be proud of that. I think there's been a long-term push, especially in education, at not just the K-12 level, but certainly from higher ed, to basically turn around Americans and make them think that, well, not only is our past unexceptional, it's exceptionally bad. And I think that that narrative is so big in society now.
Part of this long-term push comes in part by the 1619 Project. This heavily scrutinized and widely debunked project attempts to claim that America was actually founded in 1619.
The 1619 Project, an initiative from the New York Times, was essentially launched, in my mind, to almost erase the true history of America, almost to suggest that all of America's ills, all of the problems that we deal with, can be traced back to the issue of slavery.
The 1619 Project that the New York Times has created, which says America is just a systematically racist country and always has been since 1619, when slaves were first brought here. And there's nothing else important about America, not our history of freedom, not the Declaration of Independence, which led to the erasure of slavery because it was so incongruous with our founding values.
Morgan Zegers is the founder and CEO of Young Americans Against Socialism.
There's a lot of concerning aspects about the 1619 Project, but specifically coming from my angle of concern for the rise of socialism and Marxism and that divide in our country, it's pretty much cultural Marxism when you look at trying to divide massive groups of people in order to get a political gain.
When you have a position to where you're revising history, where America is always the big bad wolf, America is always the enemy, that you cannot see any good in America, it results in a populace that is primed to embrace socialism.
And this misinformation is being taught directly to our students in public schools. The Pulitzer Center announced that the work of the 1619 Project has been used to create curriculums in some 4,500 classrooms since August of 2019.
The 1619 Project is honestly a genius way for them to divide America further and ensure that young Americans are not only taught this in pop culture and taught this in the media, but now the 1619 Project is taught in American classrooms.
A lot of people in academia and higher education who want to change that, who want to make Americans feel like their country is built on something terrible. I think because they want to introduce radical doctrines to this country.
It's really important for not just conservatives, but for classical liberals who love the concept of America and the founding principles that we have today that made us so great. It's important that we all stand up and advocate for better education in the classroom, not the 1619 Project.
What do the statistics say about young people supporting socialism?
Right now, 70% of young Americans would vote for a socialist, and a majority of young Americans would choose socialism over capitalism for the future of the country.
Many of the millennials today think Bernie Sanders was a great candidate because he represented it. Social fairness, economic redistribution, and they somehow assume that those are good things. But they don't realize that this has failed everywhere. And even if they acknowledge that, they'll say, well, it's only failed because it wasn't tried in the right way. It wasn't applied in the right manner.
True socialism really means that the government controls the means of production. Is that something that a lot of young people know?
They're being lied to because they're ignorant on the issues and they're very well-intentioned. They want to help people. And so the radical Marxists and socialists that actually want to seize the means of production and private property and private business are telling my generation, if we just elect democratic socialists, we'll end up like Denmark and we'll end up like Nordic Europe. In reality, Nordic Europe is capitalist. And if we implemented the democratic socialist policies of the DSA and the Justice Democrats and the radicals like AOC, we would end up like socialist Venezuela, not Denmark.
When I saw Bernie Sanders on 60 Minutes lauding the virtues of Fidel Castro, you know, and this struck me in many ways, most importantly, because my wife has Spanish-speaking ancestry. My mother-in-law is from Nicaragua. So when the Sandinistas took over Nicaragua, my family suffered the bludgeoning hardships under Daniel Ortega. It shows they're so committed to advancing cultural Marxism or cultural terrorism that they're even willing to shade the truth in order to accomplish that. So what would you think would happen again if these people seized the levers of power across the board?
If you look at Marxism, that's the divide between owners and workers. And so it's making the poorer people in the country hate the rich people, the evil millionaires and billionaires, as Bernie Sanders called them. And so if you look back at Cuba and other socialist turned communist countries, they had that Marxism be implemented and you had the poor rise up against the rich or the evil owners.
But America is truly one of the greatest countries on earth, in part by our strong Christian heritage.
Our history has empowered more people, given them the greatest levels of economic prosperity, the greatest levels of personal freedom to speak, to disagree with the government, to criticize the government, to assemble, and to encourage people to think like us. Those are some fundamental rights that we were given by God, enshrined in the Constitution and protected by government, that make us unique.
History matters so much. Look, I mean, where we came from, who we are right now, there's a reason why that is. There's a reason why America is a powerful, successful country, but not just that, I think fundamentally a good country. And there have been plenty of great powers, great empires in the past. I think America was built on something very different. I think we were a great country even when we were a very small country, when we were a very young country. I think we've built upon things in the United States that have made us a beacon of hope and liberty for people around the world.
As Ronald Reagan said, that freedom is always one generation away from extinction. It is up to parents to transmit that to their kids. And, you know, it's also up to schools, hopefully, to transmit that, although we can't always trust the schools to do that. So we don't want to be the generation that fails to transmit that legacy of freedom to the next generation.
And I think Americans do have to stand up for the truth. I think they have to stand up for the good in our history. We want to build off of our history, not destroy it.
Where is the hope for America found? Throughout this nation's history, it has been in God's providence.
The word providence means that God is busy in history.
Find out more in the new book, The Blessings of Liberty, Hope from God's Hand in the American Journey by Dr. Peter Lilback and Dr. Jerry Newcomb. In these troubled times, seeing how God works through America's history gives powerful evidence for our gratitude and hope for the future.
There's no nation ever in the history of the world that has more reason to give thanks to the Almighty than America.
Contact us today to receive your copy of The Blessings of Liberty, Hope from God's Hand in the American Journey.
God is involved in American history through providence. And I think that idea is still very precious to those of us that still believe in the truth of God's Word.
In totalitarian nations, one of the first things oppressive rulers do is rewrite the nation's history. Inconvenient truths are whitewashed away, and events that seem to justify the ruling class are either exaggerated or completely fabricated from whole cloth. It is absolutely vital to the cause of freedom to keep dishonest revisionists from obscuring America's true Christian history. This is why D. James Kennedy Ministries is delighted to be joining forces with the Providence Forum, founded by Dr. Peter Lilback. Providence Forum becomes this ministry's newest outreach as we continue Dr. Kennedy's vision for proclaiming the truth in all spheres, including America's great Christian heritage. And we do so at a time when that history has never been under a more sustained attack. Dr. Kennedy shares more about that history and the reason we give thanks in this portion of his message, The Pilgrims Give Thanks.
If you were to ask the average American today what they know about the Pilgrims, they might tell you that, well, they're the ones that invented Thanksgiving and the eating of turkeys. Well, why did they do that? Well, because they were so happy about the wonderful crops and the abundance that they had here that they wanted to give thanks to the Indians. That's what Harcourt Brace textbook, 11th grade, teaches students. I talked to somebody just this morning who, until they were an adult, believed that at Thanksgiving, the Pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians. What were they thankful for? For the abundance of their crops? No. There was no abundance. The average meal that winter consisted of 5 hard kernels of corn on the plate, period. Just about exactly 50% of all the pilgrims had died in that first winter of 1621. They landed in early December of 1620. And now it is the fall of 1621. Half of them are gone. There's virtually not a family left who has not lost a husband or a wife or a child. Little food. Many were still sick. But they were men and women of the book. They believed the Word of God. By the way, in 1623, there was another Thanksgiving. And this time there was abundance. The crops were great. The food was quite abundant. They were doing well. They had Thanksgiving again. By the way, I trust you know what happened in between 1621 and 1623. They changed their economy. Many people don't know that. Some of you do. You see, the London company that financed this adventure required, at 45% interest, which they paid off every nickel of it. They required that they have a communal or socialistic, communistic government, and that everything be brought into a common barn and nobody own any property, and that it would be from each according to his ability to each according to his need. Long before Karl Marx wrote it out, the founders of this country had a communist economy. The result? 50% of the inhabitants died. And then Governor Bradford said, "We had thought ourselves wiser than God, and now it was each man for himself." And there was a piece of ground given to every family, and the increase was astonishing. There was a thanksgiving that took place filled with abundance. But the interesting thing is that the pilgrims gave thanks both in the good time and the bad. I wonder if everyone in this room had lost an intimate family member in this last year, how joyous would be your thanksgiving. Theirs was, "In all things give thanks," is what they believed. And by the way, for a long time after that year, they had five little dried kernels of corn on the side of their plate to remind them of the hard time that had gone before. But they were men and women who understood the importance of thankfulness. The scripture says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I believe that most people, even most church people, probably don't believe that Thanksgiving is that important. I wonder how many of you in the last week, in the last month, or every day make it a point to give thanks. We're to approach God with our supplications with thanksgiving. And Paul makes it very clear in the first part of Romans, when he describes the decline of mankind into sin, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful. And from there, it is all downward, a downward spiral. Read the last half of the first chapter of Romans, and you'll see the plunge of mankind into depravity, immorality, and perversion. And it began with ingratitude. You know, ingratitude is not the kind of thing that most people give too much thought about as a grievous sin. You can be very ingratitude. The police are never going to haul you away for that. It is very unlikely that the discipline committee of a church is going to call you before them for ingratitude. You can indeed be an active member of the church for decades, even an officer in the church, and maintain a life of ingratitude, never even knowing, perhaps, how displeasing you are to God. It is the will of God that we give thanks in all things, our scripture tells us today. How important that is. "What hast thou," saith the scripture, "that thou didst not receive?" Do you have a good mind? When did you make that? Do you have a strong physique? Who gave it to you? Do you live in a land of freedom, abundance, and plenty? Was that your planning or his? How grateful we should be. May we pray also that God will increasingly give us the gift of gratitude, that we might indeed be children pleasing to our Heavenly Father. In His name, may we pray. Father, grant us, in addition to all of the blessings that we have received in this nation, which are beyond what most people have ever known in this world, above all of that, grant us grateful hearts, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friends, we live in challenging days here in America, but Thanksgiving is still a time of celebration and of gratitude to the Lord. As Dr. Kennedy shared, our pilgrim forefathers did not give thanks only when things were just as they wanted them. They gave thanks in the midst of their most difficult circumstances, not regarding themselves as deprived, but as blessed by the kindness of the Lord. Indeed, an incapacity for gratitude is a major part of our nation's spiritual poverty. People tilting towards socialism are a people in the grip of envy and covetousness. That is a spiritual disease. And giving thanks to our gracious God is the cure. To remind us of God's goodness, let me tell you about a brand new resource that may be one of the most important books we have ever published. It's the book, The Blessings of Liberty, Hope from God's Hand in the American Journey, authored by Dr. Peter Lilback of the Providence Forum and our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb. This is an extraordinary work of scholarship and faith. In fact, I will go so far as to say this may be one of the most important books written for this hour in our nation's history. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. As you generously donate, you are helping us to proclaim truth by whatever means God gives us. Truth about the gospel, about God's commands, about how the Bible applies to the current events, and about America's true Christian history. We have just joined arms with Providence Forum, bringing them into this ministry as our newest outreach. Providence Forum exists to preserve, defend, and advance the faith and values of our nation's founding, a goal very close to Dr. Kennedy's heart. And yet another strategic way of fulfilling our mission as well. And in this compelling book from Providence Forum, you will discover America's true history, a history that is being ignored or even erased by far-left elites. We will send you The Blessings of Liberty by Peter Lilback and Jerry Newcomb as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book plus a DVD message from Dr. Kennedy entitled America's Greatest Hero. In this message, Dr. Kennedy vividly recounts God's miraculous intervention in the settling of America. Nothing could be more appropriate for Thanksgiving, and you will want to share this book and DVD with others, especially if they are in our public school or university systems. That's the new book, The Blessings of Liberty, by Dr. Peter Lilback and Jerry Newcomb, as our thanks for your generous donation. And the book, plus the DVD message from Dr. Kennedy, America's Greatest Hero, as our thanks for your donation of $50 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. In his powerful recent book entitled Live Not by Lies, cultural commentator Rod Dreher sets forth the parallels between 2020 America and Russia at the beginning of the Soviet Union. And he warns of a soft totalitarianism that is already asserting itself here, paralleling the hard totalitarianism of the old USSR. This work draws on the foremost scholar on despotism, Hannah Arendt, who said that dictatorial societies seek to displace all traditions and institutions with an ideology, and to bring all of society under that ideology's oppressive yoke. Such a tyrannical society is one that aspires to nothing less than defining and controlling reality. And that's precisely what we see happening in America today. Not so much at the hands of government, yet, but at the hands of schools and universities, the media, rioters in the streets, a growing segment of corporate America, and the so-called woke social media mobs. We are told that men can give birth, and that marriage includes any combination of persons, though it won't likely be restricted to persons for much longer. We are falsely told by the fraudulent 1619 Project of the New York Times that slavery is the defining characteristic of America. These are mendacious and dangerous assertions, all of which is why Thanksgiving is so very important. Thanksgiving is a time to stop and give thanks to the one true God, the creator of the universe, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the standard of all things and who defines all things. It was for his glory and worship that America was settled. And when we follow our pilgrim forebears in giving thanks to him, we acknowledge that he is Lord of all, and we are not. It is the Lord God who defines the reality of his creation, not the sin-sick creature. In these perilous times, giving conspicuous thanks to God is a profound exercise of liberty, and it strikes a firm blow against creeping totalitarianism. Give thanks, for God is ever seated on his throne. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us. And here's a look at the next Truths That Transform.
Well, the year 2020 marks the 400th anniversary of the arrival of that ship Mayflower into New England, carrying those pilgrims coming from Europe.
There we have what the pilgrims sought, the reason that they left England, that which they struggled so far to obtain: liberty of conscience, religious liberty, and civil liberty as well.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.